This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Hello again, everybody. Brian Neal.
You had your radio voice on again.
That was actually Keith Jackson. Did you not know that?
Yeah,
that was Keith Jackson. Yeah, for the people that are outside of the United States, Keith Jackson is a famous sports announcer who used to announce college, what other people might call university American football games, and he used to start with, "Hello, everybody."
You're very conscious of the whole American thing now.
Well, let's talk about that. So this is an email we're reading from my friend. He didn't give me permission to read it, so I'll just call him Peter because that's his name. I'm not going to use his last name. So this is an email from Peter. I'll paraphrase this a little bit, but just listen to the latest podcast, reference to Northern Europe. I know you guys like to joke around. It's one of the reasons I've been listening. We appreciate that. One suggestion, though, it sounds condescending when you talk about other countries like you did on the podcast.
Who is this idiot anyway?
He is not an idiot, Bill. No, he's going to write you. With all due respect to you both, there's a world outside the USA and a whole heap of salespeople out there. Maybe have a quick look at Google Maps before you talk about a country or regions. Best regards. Now, Peter happens to live at 31 degrees south and 115 degrees east in the southern hemisphere. No, he's from Perth, Australia. Peter, I really appreciate your email, first of all, and I emailed him back to you personally, but it's never, ever our intent to make anyone condescending. What really is the problem here in Perth? And I did look up Perth. You see this? Look, you see this?
Yeah,
I looked it up, didn't
Wikipedia,
I? See?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And Peter should know if he's been listening. We've been dying to get someone to invite us to Australia because we can't just come down there with nothing to do. So, Peter, if you want to take the lead, we'd be happy to come down and visit. And I'll apologize in person. And all the Northern European listeners that we have. Yep. All dozen of them.
He's right. He's right.
Well, what's really at work here? What's really at work is I'm a geographical idiot. I have no idea what exists south of I-70 in Indianapolis, Indiana. So that's the true problem. It just comes out in a way that sounds condescending.
So Australia is a little bit off your radar screen, isn't it?
I love Australia. I really, really want to go to Australia badly. So, Peter, thanks for the update there.
Thank you, Peter.
And I would love to come visit you in Perth, although it's wintertime. Now, see, this I do know. I do know this. The summer starts here, it's fall there, right? Like Christmas time down there when they're doing Winter Wonderland, it's blazing hot. Uh-huh. In the southern hemisphere. Nothing to do with geography, more to do with science and biology, but I know that.
It's a Wikipedia fact.
There you go.
Speaking of visits, I had a chance to travel out to San Jose, California last week and spend some time with my favorite paving contractors, Black Diamond, Mike and Darren and Chris and Jeff and Alex and the gang. And why is it that you've been to San Jose before, haven't
you? I have.
Why is it that the instant you hit that town, you cannot get the song out of your mind?
I can't. Which one?
Do you know the way to San Jose?
I don't. That doesn't jump?
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, you're
no.
15 years too young for that. Do you know?
I know a lot of music, though. Yeah. It doesn't happen to me. What happens to me is I just love going over to Google. I just feel so much smarter.
Oh, yeah.
Over there.
Yeah,
I
it's cool over there.
Headquarters and sit on the sign out
That's
front.
That's kind of weird. But anyway, a couple of shout outs today. We got a nice note from Denitsa Herizanova.
Say it again.
She's a niche consulting and recruitment person, I believe, from Europe, although I don't know, but I won't make
Be
fun.
Be careful. Oh, yeah, come on, seriously.
Also from James Riley, got a nice note. He's purchased all of our products online. Steve Cooper, good person. And also the shout-out to a few of us at Aegis, A-E-G-I-S, in Chicago. Aegis Chicago.
Oh,
we
nice.
All listen to your podcast. Keep up the good work.
That's
it was
good.
A Twitter conversation. So.
I noticed that your shout-out printout there is made in 42 font pike. Clearly, your eyes are getting worse and worse by
That's
the minute.
That's how I know it's a shout-out.
That's an old radio trick. An old radio trick. Okay.
Topic.
We're going to talk about a very good topic now that everyone's tuned to said, oh, this episode's no good. We're going to talk about filling the top of the funnel.
Okay.
Proverbial perennial problem, correct?
Okay.
Proverbial is probably the wrong word to use there.
Total.
Perennial problem,
Well,
there's never enough stuff in the top of the funnel. This happens from salespeople, sales managers, VPs of sales, owners of companies. They get ticked. There's never enough in the top of the funnel. Salespeople think, oh, gosh, I don't have enough going on. They get desperate. Big, big, bad problem.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Mm-hmm.
We hear this a lot when we poll our audiences. They all tell us this is a huge problem. So we're going to talk about
this
today.
It's probably the biggest, isn't it?
The biggest without question. And if you asked any of my clients, they will tell you it's their biggest problem.
Yeah.
Never goes away. So you would think that we were going to give away a bunch of advice on how to fill the funnel, but we're not going to do that.
Not going to do that.
No, because we think differently here at the Advanced Selling Podcast. Mm-hmm. We are instead going to reverse engineer the problem. And instead of looking for a solution, we are going to teach you how to analyze the question, wonder why my funnel isn't as full in the first place. How did I get to here? so I can in that then find the solution. Because mm-hmm. what we find happens usually is people have this problem and their only reaction is boom, go.
Go do something else.
Yeah, and the problem is you never realize how you got there to start with, so you perpetuate your cycle. That was worth it. That we 5 minutes into it? That was worth it right there.
That's it.
You can tune out. That was a great answer, a great little tidbit for you. So,
and I think that we spent a little time today doing a little mini business retreat, and mm-hmm. we talked about the very topic of sometimes the answer is right underneath our feet. And I look at the most people's funnel, they'll close, 10 to 15% of what's in it?
20 at
the
best.
Max.
Yep.
So, and yet we're always looking to put more people in it. And sometimes I think it'd be useful to say, forget about people who aren't in it. Let's focus on the people who are, and let's see if we can bump that up to 50% or 80%.
Interesting.
And so, but there's this testosterone kind of aggressive, assertive, more is always more, and sometimes more is not more. More is less.
And we didn't offend the girls. That was not meant to offend the girls. We did not offend the girls by saying that.
Oh, the male ladies. Thing? No.
Yeah, the testosterone. No. We have a girl in the room. We have a woman in the room. She's not paying
attention. She offended?
Her
name is
Brooke.
Either.
So let's go through some questions. I've got some questions. So what we're going to teach you here in this episode is we're going to teach you context. We're going to teach you a system, a framework to think about a problem. And in that, you'll probably find some of the solutions to help you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend Wayne Dyer said, the cure
is... He's a good friend, isn't he?
Chased
after him one night.
I really did. I wanted to tackle the man. He's just a little too big these days. No, he said, the cure is in the illness. The cure is in the illness. The solution is in the problem. If there were no problem, there would be no solution. So there's no reason to look for it. So the cure is in the illness. That's what he said.
I like that.
Isn't that great?
I like that.
Great.
So did he say that as he was diving away from you?
He did not say that. No. I was...
I was at a conference one time with Brian, and Wayne Dyer was a special speaker, and he was really good. I mean, I've not been a huge fan of his, but he was really good. And all of a sudden, he was gone. I looked around, Brian was gone. He was running up.
I went up to go see him.
Yeah,
but he close to my guru. It's as close
dove.
To a guru as I get. So here are a couple of questions that I came up with. Let me start again. Here are a couple of questions I came up with. It is funny. I went up there like a goldfish, like looking for food. And I just stared at him, and I didn't, like, do anything. I didn't shake his hand. I just kind of looked at him, and all these people were around getting their pictures taken and hugging him and stuff, and I just stared at him. I froze in front of my guru.
Oh,
anyway, let's start with this question. We always say the funnel's not good enough. Doesn't look good enough? Here's a question. What makes a good funnel? What would it look like that would make you say, gosh, our funnel looks pretty good right now? Man, we've got enough. What would make you say, you know, we've got a little too much in our funnel? It was a little too high quality. We're not taking enough risk. So it's the first thing to define for people is to say, here's what looks good. Most sales leaders don't do this for their salespeople. They don't say, let me tell you, Bill, what a good funnel looks like.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what a medium funnel looks like, and here's what a crappy funnel looks like.
You mean in terms of number or quality?
Who knows? That's a great question, isn't it? How do I define the quality of my funnel?
Yeah.
Some people probably define it with numbers. Some define it with quality. Some define it with stage. Some define it with a certain level of contact, all of the above. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I think there's a very, very nebulous definition of what the funnel and its quality and per company looks like.
It's good.
You know? So that's the first question to ask yourself is what makes a good funnel?
Okay, can I do one?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah, you're invited.
What do people have to do to get into your funnel? Usually not much. Usually just a raise of the hand and a call and a web form fill out and boom, they're in the funnel. I think, and we've talked about this before, you've got to really put some filters around your funnel so that people have to earn their way in a little bit at least. And that could be a meeting that you would have with someone before you put them into the funnel, or several meetings, or they would have to admit something in those meetings that would cause you to say this person's really a prospect.
I love that.
Because when we look at funnels and we take this 12% or 10% or whatever the closing rate is, fact is a lot of the stuff in there shouldn't be in there because they never were prospects in the first place.
That's really, really good. Really good, yeah.
So that would be how I would reverse engineer a little bit of that before I even started to put people in is what is required of them.
That's good. And I guarantee everyone listening to this can take the next step up in that subject. They can get a little more stingy to get in, no matter where you are and how good you are there.
That's
okay.
A good point.
Ready? Another one. Here we go.
Uh-huh.
Ask yourself the question and make a two-column list here. What did I do that caused my funnel to look like this? And what did I not do that caused my funnel to look like that? And therein, you're going to show yourself some things that you're going to say, gosh, I did this. So I got too involved with customer service calls that didn't give me enough time to prospect. Or I did this and that. And that. Then there are going to be some things you didn't do. Gosh, I didn't go to the networking event. Yep. I didn't get on LinkedIn more than once in a month and that sort of stuff. What did I do? What did I not do?
And so the list then gives me a clue about what I
absolutely.
Should.
Absolutely. Yeah, keep, it helps you start doing. To filter. What it does is it creates awareness. It makes you step out of yourself for a minute and say, okay, it's kind of like if you want to lose weight, there's this little thing called MyFitnessPal. Mm-hmm. It's an app, and you record your calories. Most people, when you start to use that app, have no idea how many calories they eat until they actually start to pay attention. They go, oh, my gosh, I ate 4,000 calories. I had no idea. They just don't know.
What's it like, a Butterfinger blizzard at Dairy Queen?
It's an ice cream where they put Butterfinger.
Oh, I know what it is.
I hope you ask.
I know what it is.
Oh, you meant how many calories is in it. Okay. We'll get that. Brooke's going to look it up for us. All right, you got another one?
I got a problem here with my headphones. I can only hear you. That's a
problem.
I've got one.
Oh, that is
okay,
a problem.
I got one. Well, I don't know if this is really one in the context of what you're talking about, but my question is always is we rush out to go and try to fill the funnel before we say, where are the people having the conversations that I should talk to? If you can't figure out where those conversations about your solution or the problems you solve are happening, are they in a boardroom? Are they with their accountant? Are they at seminars? Are they, you know, at their strategic retreats? Where are people having the conversation that deals with your product or your solution? I think until you can answer that, you can't really know what to do and where to go to find people to put into the phone.
Yeah, very good. I bet you they're at Dairy Queen.
All right.
Guaranteed.
What size do you use?
Medium.
Butterfinger.
Butterfinger small is 470 calories.
It's not bad.
No. Three of those you've done for the day.
It's not bad.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
All right.
You could even get whipped cream on it.
I don't want to know the medium.
Small. Okay, last one. Can I go my last one here?
Small.
Because we're kind of running out of time.
Small.
Quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
Ready?
Yep.
When I go to fix my broken funnel, I made up a word here. When I go to fix my broken funnel, what's
poem?
My...
Is this going
to
be a
poem? It's not a haiku. This is
like a limerick.
This is not sales haiku. When I go to fix my sales funnel problem, what's my unthunk plan? What's my unthunk plan? Now, what that means is, what is my guttural reaction? What's my behavior? What's my knee jerk? Because everyone tends to operate on the knee jerk. So once you just say, oh, here's my knee jerk, because I get on the phone and make a whole bunch of stuff, then I want you to go back and think about what's good and bad about that and see if you can rethink that plan and let that become your knee jerk. Because right now what happens, the knee jerk is almost always go out and hound people and make more calls. And that becomes desperate because people think there's not much in the funnel. It's a perpetual bad thing. So instead think, I'm going to change my knee jerk. My knee jerk now is when I need stuff, I do this instead of what I've done in the past.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's good.
You like the word unthunk? Go
ahead. Well, I like the word unthunk, and it kind of brings me to a book that I have been reading bits of.
Yep.
I can't remember the name of it, but I do remember one part of it.
It's unthunk.
I didn't read the first
disappeared
page,
on you.
So I don't know. This idea of leading measures and lagging measures. And lagging measures are things like results and sales. They lag. And so you can't just go produce those things. It's the leading measures that you want to look at.
Mm.
And then there's the middle area. The funnel to me is a middle area. It's an indicator that I'm doing kind of the right things on the leading side.
Right.
And then I'll get to the end result. But the real leading measures are your behaviors. Like you say, the plan, where do I need to show up? What do I need to filter people through? What questions do I need to ask? What are my actions? And I think sometimes we spend very little time on the leading measures and way too many on the lagging, where we can't control it.
No, it's past the point.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right. You can email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. We'll get back to some mailbag questions here in a couple of weeks. And, Brian, I'm glad you're back. Where were you?
I don't remember.
Oh, that was me in San Jose.
No, I was in, where was I? Denver and Atlanta and Cleveland.
In the big spots.
And Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Indy. And Fort Wayne. And Kendallville.
Keeps getting better.
Yeah.
And Corydon.
Corydon.
All right. We'll see you next time on the Advanced Selling Podcast.
So long. Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to iTunes.